During the time that Heather and I lived in Kenya, our home was a little block-built house with a tin roof on a hillside. And that's where we lived. That's where we spent our time. We woke one morning to find the ceiling in the bedroom, instead of being like this, now was like this. And it had obviously fallen during the night, which was a bit alarming in itself. And we got up fairly quickly. Now, Heather will tell you, when I wake up in the morning, it normally feels like the roof has fallen in on me. But outside, and how do we look around? And more worrying than the ceiling falling was actually, there now was a great crack appearing down the middle of the house, which was even more worrying. So we got in touch with the guys who had built the house, who came and had a wee look at it. And after some questioning, which was quite difficult when you don't really have any building experience and you're talking to someone who doesn't speak the same language, so a lot of sign language going on. But what we discovered after a while was there weren't actually any foundations in this house. And it was built on a hillside, so after a little while, part of it decided it didn't want to stay on the hillside, and it just started to slip down the hillside. The crack appeared, ceilings fall, all the rest of it. Well, after a while, the same builders came along and they built huge buttresses against the back of the house, which would have done any English cathedral proud to hold this house on the hillside. And as far as I know, it's still there. But there were no foundations to it. And without those foundations, you cannot put up a secure building. Doesn't matter what the building is, really. Whether it's something small or whether it's something huge and grand, without the foundations there, it's never going to be secure. It's never going to work. And it's not just about buildings. If you're into gardening, if you're into growing things in any way, you will know that really the important thing about a plant, if you want it to do well, if you want it to flower, to bear fruit, to grow, to develop, the important thing is the roots. Where are the roots? How are the roots? Are they in the right place? Are they deep enough? Are they strong enough? All those questions. And without that root system, there's no way that plant is ever going to be really all that it could and should be. Foundations and roots are essential. Andrew read for us from the beginning of the letter to the church in Colossae. The Colossian Christians were part of this early growing church that was in the southwest of what we now call Turkey. They had started well in their Christian life. They, as you read through that little passage, they had this great triangle of Christian faith, hope, and love, and it was evident in their lives. As you looked at this church, as Paul hears reports of this church, their faith, their hope, their love is so evident. They have a firm foundation. They have based their lives on Jesus Christ. They have a firm foundation. They have the right place, the right one to put their roots into. And so as Paul looks at this young church, he sees that church growing and developing and maturing and bearing fruit in all the different ways that you would expect a church to. They had a firm foundation, and they could confidently build on that foundation. They had a good root system. They could confidently grow from that root system. Our house in Nangina didn't have the foundations. Really wasn't a great place to build. But it was important for that church that they didn't just have the foundations, but they built on them. You could build just foundations and then walk away and leave them and not build anything on them. You could plant roots and just walk away and hope that not expect anything to grow. But you build on it. You grow in it because that's where your confidence is. If you've got the right foundations, you can build with confidence. If you've got the right roots, you can grow with confidence. This church in Colossae had the right foundations, the right roots in Jesus Christ, and that's where their confidence was. Their confidence was in Jesus Christ. One of the big things that marks out the Christian gospel as unique is simply hope. Hope. Because it brings total confidence in an eternal future. We have hope, which is not just wishful thinking. It's not just this is what I would like the world to be. It's not the same hope as I hope tomorrow is not wet so that I can get on and do things. I hope that it's not frosty. It's not that sort of hope. This is an unshakable hope that we have because of the foundation, because of Jesus. Christian hope marks out the gospel. We have that simply because of what Jesus has done for us. We contribute nothing. We've just sung only by grace. And sometimes we sing only by grace, or we think or we speak only by grace, but then we add in a few other things. It's only by grace, but really you have to do this and do this and do this and be that and turn up for this. And we add to it, and it's not only by grace. The Bible teaches it is only by grace that we enter. We contribute nothing. If we had to contribute to our own salvation, we could have no confidence. If your salvation depended on you, if mine depended on me, we would have no confidence. But it doesn't. It depends on Jesus, in whom we have complete confidence. Often, the theme of religion is simply get on with the work. If you want to be a religious person, if you want to be a good person, get on with the work. Do the work. The whole thrust of the gospel is, no, the work's been done. Receive the work and live in it and grow in it with confidence. Jesus has done it. And there's our confidence. Not in me, not in you, but in Jesus alone. And so there's no arrogance in salvation. Sometimes people accuse Christians of being arrogant. It's completely the opposite. If it depended on us, we could be arrogant. I've made it. I've got myself into heaven. I've sorted that out. Doesn't depend on us. It depends on what Jesus did. It depends on what Jesus did. So it's not arrogance. It's completely the opposite. It's having our confidence in Him. Look at the last few verses of that passage that Andrew read for us. And you see what Jesus has done for us. Verse 12 of that passage, He has qualified you for heaven. Now, sometimes we hear people say, he or she never did anybody any harm. They must be in heaven. They lived a good life. They must be in heaven. And we bring it back to what I do, what you do. Only by grace and all the other good things that we do. Paul says to this church, Jesus has qualified you for heaven. You didn't do it, but you can receive it. That's amazing. Through faith in Jesus, qualified for heaven. Rescued you, verse 13, rescued you from darkness. We all know what it's like, not just to be in a physically dark place, a dark room, a dark forest, or whatever else, but just to be in a place in our heads and hearts where it's dark. Paul says to this young church, Jesus took you out of darkness and brought you into the kingdom of the Son. That's what He's done. It's not what you've done. And so we can be confident not in ourselves, but in Jesus. He's the one who qualified us for heaven. He's the one that rescued us from darkness. He's the one that's brought us into the kingdom of His Son. It's all about Him. It's only by grace. There's our confidence. And it's all, you notice, it's all past tense. These are the things that Jesus has done for you. He qualified you for heaven. He rescued you for darkness. He brought you into the kingdom of his Son. It's all things that Jesus has done. It's not on your to-do list. It's all on Jesus has done list. It's all been achieved at the cross, where Jesus once and for all completed his divine rescue mission. Now it seems that the church in Colossae was in danger of seeking to add to all of that. They knew that they had the foundations, but now they were thinking, actually, is that enough? Is that enough? Maybe there's something else we could or should be or be doing. We'll add to it. And then, as now, there were plenty of people who struggled off just with the simplicity of the gospel. And they wanted to make it more complicated. They added to it. They made it more intellectually rewarding or challenging, whatever way you want to look at it. Somehow they just cranked it up a bit, because is that enough? Only by grace. God's grace enough. The problem is, when we move from the foundation of the gospel, we move underground, which is unstable and shaky and slippery. We can't be sure of God's forgiveness, because it no longer depends solely on Jesus. It depends on us. I've often talked about that scene in Saving Private Ryan, where towards the end of the film, Private Ryan is sitting at the grave of one of the men who rescued him earlier on. And he's distraught. Tell me I deserved what you did. Tell me I've lived a good life. Tell me I've done enough. No certainty, no confidence. That's what it's like when we depend upon ourselves, when we add to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We either become proud because we think we've done it, or we become despairing because we think we cannot do it. Our confidence is in Jesus. Our confidence is in him. He's our foundation. This is where we build. This is where we grow, in Jesus and everything that he has done for us. Our confidence is in the fact that we cannot add to what Jesus has done. We can simply receive it. These folks in Colossae, the gospel had been growing, bearing fruit among them. That's what Paul says in this passage. He looks at the church and he rejoices in it because of the fact that when they put their confidence in Jesus and what he has done, that church is growing and blossoming. Don't move from it. Don't move from it. In a few moments, we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper together. The bread and the wine. Simple meal that just points towards what Jesus has done for us. Points towards the grounds of our confidence. We have a past that, because of Jesus, is forgiven. No matter how horrendous that past is, no matter how good we think our past has been, because of Jesus, it's forgiven, and you can have confidence in that. We have a future that is confident because Jesus, our future that is secure, and we can be confident in it because Jesus has died and has risen again and has prepared a place for you. Your future is secure. And when our past and our future are secure and we can have confidence in them, then this, our present lives, make sense. Our lives here and now make sense. Do we always get it right? No, we don't. Will we make a mess of our lives? Yes, we will. Do we still have a gracious God who's quick to forgive? Yes, we do. And our confidence is in him, and in him alone. Over these weeks, we're thinking of this theme of rediscovering our first love. That's what these folks in Colossae are reminded. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. Remember this foundation. Go back to him. Don't be tempted to add to it, to leave to something new and exciting and intriguing. Stick with your foundations. because there you build and there you grow. We're also thinking a lot about prayer. In this little passage, it's lovely to read the things that Paul prays for that church, things that we perhaps this evening will pray for each other. He prays that we may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him. That we would bear fruit in every good work. That we would grow in the knowledge of God. That we would be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, which then leads to endurance and to patience here and now. But it all goes back to Jesus, in whom we have our confidence. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray together? Lord, forgive us when we think we can base our lives on something and someone other than Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, when we are arrogant enough to believe that we can do this, that we deserve this. Lord, point us again towards Jesus, His cross, His empty tomb, His promise to come again in glory. And in Him, may we find our foundation and our roots. Amen.